earlier to the other two masses that I said, the congregation there, that I am fasting from sharing jokes this weekend. I'm doing some fasting, so bear with me. The theme for our reflection today is be transfigured into Christ or be Christ-like. And if you want to use a different expression, it could be submit yourself to the transforming process of grace. You know, Jesus has given us that opportunity by his life, death, and resurrection. And now he lives with us in the Holy Spirit, in the hearts of men and women, drawing us closer, transforming us, preparing us for heaven, preparing us for the weight of heavenly glory, because it's too heavy. Last Sunday, the gospel reading presented to us an ever-present danger in life, which is temptation. The devil knows this great blessing that awaits us, and he doesn't want us to be part of that experience. So he comes with all kinds of temptation. He showed us how the devil is ever active and unrelenting, trying to ruin our work of salvation by leading us away from our Christian calling and into sin. You see, Saint Peter will tell us in his first letter that we have to be very, very alert. We have to be very, very watchful. Be on guard, because the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to destroy, to deprive us of that particular exaltation or dignity. Since it is not an easy road that leads to heaven, Mother Church warns us against another danger which often follows temptation, and that is discouragement. Discouragement. In order to encourage us to faithfulness and steadfastness in the realization of this one goal of discipleship, which is to be Christ-like, Mother Church proposes for our imitation the following models. In the first reading, we have the calling of Abraham, whom the sacred scriptures call our father in faith. We find that in Romans chapter 4, verse 11. Abraham trusted and obeyed God all through his life, despite all the hardships and sufferings he had to endure. In the second reading, we have the words of St. Paul, who endured so many hardships for the sake of the gospel. And it's encouraging the young Bishop Timothy and all of us to persevere in our Christian calling for the sake of the future glory that awaits all who endures to the end. The gospel reading presents to us Jesus, who completely embraces his mission to save souls, during which at some point in his public ministry, his heavenly Father allowed a glimpse of Jesus' heavenly glory to be seen. The purpose of this was to confirm Jesus in the work that the Father had entrusted to him, and through which the Father also encouraged him to complete his work on earth. Remember that Jesus was also human. He had all the feelings that we have, you know, the fears, the anxieties as well. A glimpse of that heavenly glory was also to encourage the disciples and to us to remain steadfast on the journey of our transformation in Christ, or into Christ, if you like. We should not be surprised at the thought that Jesus needed encouragement. He was on his way to Jerusalem to start his passion, as he already had announced to his apostles earlier. He was determined to suffer and to die, and yet, as he showed clearly at Gethsemane, he feared death, as all men and women do. Matthew chapter 26, verse 37. Remember, he said, "Father, if you will, let this cup pass me by. But let not my will be done, but yours. Let yours be done, not mine. Otherwise, let this pass me by." You know, he was filled with anguish, fear. Obviously, it was out of love for us too that the Father let the glory of Jesus be seen on that mountain. It was to assure them of the same glory that would be theirs later on. But meanwhile, they had to go forward with confidence and courage in moments of trials and difficulties, which fundamentally is part of the transformation process. St. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, when he says, if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his sufferings. Our blessed Lord showed Peter, James, and John only a glimpse of his glory. That was enough for Peter to cry out, it is good that we dwell here. Let us not go down to the mountain where our weaknesses, our human failings, the miseries of human life will remind us again of who we are and where we are. If that was so, what would be the case if God grants us the full experience of heavenly glory, which no eye has seen and no ear heard, as contained in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. St. Teresa the Great once said, the more I meditate on heaven, the more I dislike this world. We should also make heavenly glory our aspiration and goal. It is said of King Philip II of Macedonia that once he asked Demades, who was the magistrate of Athens, and he said, I have heard that your city is extremely beautiful. Is it true? Your Royal Highness, said Demades, only those who have seen it can speak about it, but however much we may describe it, we cannot describe it fully. At the king's command, the magistrate gave a vivid description of the city. I want that city. Whatever be the sacrifice it involves, I shall make it my own. That was the king's response. Fortunately for us too, God, who has called us to that beautiful city ahead of us, also has his own mysterious ways of communicating that city to us, even while we are still here on earth. Sometimes it comes in a flash. You have that taste of the beauty of heaven. Just like an experience I had when I was called to the priesthood. When I called to the priesthood, I never had any connection with the priest or diocese. You know, at the time, I had no inkling of what the priesthood was like. But that particular moment I received that call, I had a flash. You know, the whole priesthood came to me in a single flash. I got that understanding, you know, that enlightenment with which there was that urge and that desire in me to actually pursue that goal. As true Christians, we too have to be transfigured through the Word of God, through the sacraments, and through the daily Christian living. All these are very, very important for this transformation, in this transformation process. As a clumsy caterpillar is transfigured into a lovely butterfly, so we must be transformed from children of this world into citizens of heaven. St. Paul exhorts us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world. Yes, it's all around us. Influencing all our thoughts and actions. But we must pay attention to the Word of God, which should be our guide, and at the same time, what the church tells us, and even what the Spirit also communicates deep down within our hearts. But let God transform you inwardly by the complete change of your mind. Indeed, a transfiguration should take place through a response of faith to grace, a response of love and obedience to God. This certainly will not take place automatically. It's a whole lifelong process, and it goes on gradually, just the way God does things. You know, God is very, very tender and very gentle with us, so he takes his time to make this work. We have to leave the past behind us, renounce our ways that are opposed to God's ways, and venture forth into the ways of God. Unless we are transformed into the likeness of the risen Christ, that is why Jesus remains with us, in order to help us to be transformed. Because we can't get this on our own. We need him. We shall not be worthy of heaven, of the beatific vision. That is why a relationship with Jesus is very, very important. We must have a personal relationship with him. Whatever sacrifices we make in order to attain this beatific vision, it can never be too much. We should have a great desire to behold the glory of the Lord and resolve to obtain it, no matter the cost. After all, that was why we were created. We were created for the glory of God. This is the first step we must take in order to be transformed on earth, from being proud to being humble, from being unloving to being loving, from being selfish to being generous. And the list goes on. If we have the sincere desire for this, and if we work and pray for this, remember St. Augustine says, God who created it without your permission will never save you without your cooperation. So certainly we shall be transformed on earth and glorified in heaven with the vision of the glory of God himself. St. Paul speaks of that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21.